Peter Peters fell into his accustomed place behind Sir Guy Courtney as they made their way through the labyrinth of passages towards the royal harem at the rear of the vast sprawling palace. The walls smelt of rot, fungus, and 200 years of neglect. Rats scurried away ahead of the torchbearers as they escorted the caliph to his bedchamber, and the tramp of the bodyguard echoed hollowly from the domes and cavernous recesses of the walls. The caliph kept up a high-pitched monologue, and Peters translated the words almost as they fell from his lips. When the caliph paused, Peters translated Sir Guy's response just as swiftly. At last they reached the doors to the harem, where a party of armed eunuchs waited to take over the escort duty, for no natural man other than the caliph was permitted beyond this point. The aroma of incense floated from behind the ivory screens and mingled with the scent of lusty young womanhood. Listening intently, Peters fancied he heard the whisper of small bare feet on the flags and the sound of girlish laughter tinkling like tiny golden bells. His fatigue fell away as the cat's claws of lust pricked at his manhood. The caliph could go to his delights, and Peters did not envy him. Tonight the palace vizier had promised him something special. "She is the daughter of the Tsar, the fiercest of all the tribes of Oman. Although she has seen only 15 summers, she is peculiarly gifted. She is a creature of the desert, a gazelle with pubescent breasts and long, slim legs. She has the face of a child and the instincts of a harlot. She delights in the wiles and wonders of love. She will open to you all three of her passageways to bliss." The vizier sniggered. It was part of his duty to learn every personal detail of every inhabitant of the palace. He knew full well in which direction lay Peter Peters's tastes. "Even through the forbidden nether passage she will welcome you. She will treat you like the great lord you truly are, Effendi." He knew how much this worthless little clerk enjoyed being given that title. When at last Sir Guy dismissed him, Peters hurried to his own quarters. In Bombay, he lived in 3 tiny cockroach-infested rooms at the back of the company compound. The only female companions he could afford on his miserly salary were the women of the night in their cheap, gaudy saris and brass bangles, their lips and gums stained bloody crimson as sword wounds from betel nut, smelling of cardamom, garlic, curry, and the musk of their unwashed genitals. Here, in the palace of Muscat, he was treated with honour. Men called him Effendi. He had 2 house slaves to wait upon his every whim. His quarters were sumptuous, and the girls the vizier sent to keep him company were young, sweet, and compliant. There was always a new one available as soon as he tired of the old. When he reached his bedchamber, Peters felt the chill of disappointment slide down his spine, for the room was empty. Then he caught the smell of her, like the perfume of a citrus orchard in blossom. He stood in the centre of the room and searched it with his eyes, waiting for her to show herself. For a while nothing moved, and there was no sound except the rustle of the leaves of the tamarind tree that stood on the terrace below the balcony. Softly Peters quoted a stanza of the Persian poet. "Her bosom shines like the snowfields of Mount Tabora. Her buttocks are bright and round as rising moons. The dark eye that nestles between them gazes implacably into the depth of my soul." The curtains that screened the balcony stirred, and the girl giggled. It was a childlike sound, and he knew, even before he set eyes on her, that the vizier had not overstated her age. When she stepped out from behind the curtains, the moonlight struck through the flimsy stuff of her robe, and the outline of her body was waif-like. She came to him and rubbed herself against him like a cat. When he stroked her small rounded backside through the thin cloth, she purred. "What is your name, my pretty child?"
"I am called Nazim, Effendi."
The vizier had instructed her carefully as to Peters's special tastes, and her skills far surpassed her tender years. Many times during the remainder of that long night she made him bawl and bleat like a weaning calf. In the dawn, Nazim curled into his lap as he sat in the centre of the mattress of goose down. She selected one of the ripe loquats from the silver dish that stood beside the bed and bit it in half with her small white teeth. She spat out the glossy brown pip and placed the rest of the sweet fruit between Peters's lips. "You made me wait so long last night before you came to me. I thought my heart would break," she pouted. "I was with the Caliph and his generals until after midnight." Peters could not resist the urge to impress her. "The Caliph himself?" She stared at him with awe. Her eyes were huge and dark. "Did he speak to you?"
"Of course."
"You must be a great lord in your own country. What did the Caliph want of you?"
"He wanted my opinion and advice on matters of the utmost secrecy and importance."
She wriggled excitedly in his naked lap, and giggled as she felt him swell and stiffen under her. She rose onto her knees and reached down behind herself with both hands. She spread her tight brown buttocks, then sank back into his lap. "I do so love secrets," she whispered, and thrust her pink tongue deep into his ear.